Welcome back, friends. Sarah and I have the pleasure of talking about Mary Gardens, Roses and Violets. So, an overview of Mary's flowers, gardens, legends, and meditations. And get the book while you can. So the first question is, why Mary? Why not Jesus or, you know, whoever else? And I propose, she more than any other person embodied what it means to live in and for Christ. She is the model for all believers. Our forebears knew this profound and simple truth. Seeing God in nature, his masterpiece, they saw Mary as well, because she too was his masterpiece. Linking the beauty of the two was natural to their perspective. Before the Enlightenment, and that's in quotes, over 1,000 plants were named for Our Lady, demonstrating this link, which have survived to our time. So there were many, many more than just about 1,000 or such plants. But with a change of thinking within society, we are down to about 1,000. But that's a wonderful thing that we have that. Literature and art. So how do we know this? Because we look at literature and art, which give witness to this connection. John Gay, Shakespeare, Chaucer are but a few noted writers who Our Lady's connection to flowers is shown in their works. Mary was very much intertwined with the daily life of the people. So this is from a medieval carol. I don't know the author. Oh, fragrant, and so this is we're going to highlight the three particular flowers out of the 1,000. It'll be the rose, the lily, and the violet. So here's the medieval carol. Oh, fragrant rose, lily chaste, oh, violet of purity, thine eyes of grace cast upon us, nostra misericordia. Today, some of the Marian names are linked to their botanical names through the preservation of these local names by oral tradition. Local names are helpful to botanists when collaborating with residents near colony plants. So as the science of botany developed, it is true that we have to use something more than common names to identify, right? Because common names vary from place to place. But the botanists needed the work of, if you call them, the laity or the people to identify these colonies of plants. Mm-hmm. And these people would have Mary names associated with some of these plants. So the botanists incorporated oftentimes the scientific name and the local name of the people. And I thought that was a beautiful indication of that, and both, or the infusion of grace into nature.
Right, absolutely. So the naming then really starts what, just prior or just post Enlightenment?
I think it's about in the 1800s, mid 1800s, early 1800s. Okay. Of course, with Darwin and Huxley, We have some of that. Right. That's the funny thing about the 1800s. At the beginning of that century, the faith was still not quite. The effects of the French Revolution, I don't think, was as strong. But as the century progresses, we end up at a place with Nietzsche. Right.
Yes. Yeah, very dark. The failure of recognizing the implications of the revolution really come to their head in Nietzsche, you know, where we see the separation that people have felt, that, you know, that capital that was in already there, right? All those names were already there, and that they were of long memory and long duration, But, you know, that capital only lasts as long as the memory and the duration is. And so you do lose very, very quickly that what we would call kind of like a memory bank, right? I mean, you know, it goes within you know, probably three generations, and you have lost all of flowers become strictly botanical, right? Scientific, as opposed to having their real connection to the Blessed Mother. I think you really lost that very, very quickly.
You did. And I was continuously struck, and you hit on it so beautifully. I was continuously struck at the lively, just the cultural viewpoint that they would so readily see something spiritual or connected to Our Lady in the most common of things. And mm-hmm. We're far from Kansas, if you will. Kansas where, you know, you're looking at, and we'll go pick up some of these flowers, to see Our Lady's connection and be delighted by it. That wasn't an imposition of fear or whatever nonsense that some of these enlightenments might
want to. No. I mean, it's obviously devotional. Like you can see that, you know, and even the naming of daughters, like with floral names, right? I mean, I don't know that there are, and maybe I'm wrong and somebody will be able to correct me, but there are no males who are named after flowers, right? That's just not what we do. And even in that nomenclature, we recognize kind of a shadow image of Our Blessed Mother and the propensity of the people of faith to long to name their daughters after the Blessed Mother in a way that would both honor her and, I guess, one would say give individuality to the child, right? I mean, not everyone could be named Mary. Although, you know, in Ireland, you know, many are Mary, Patricia, Mary, whatnot, right? And whatnot. But you really see that when you named your daughter after a flower, it was not after the flower per se, but probably in honor of the Blessed Mother for whom the flower had been named in some manner.
That's true. That's very true. And when you were talking about, like, even with the Schoenstatt sisters, they all mm-hmm. begin with M.
Right.
Point. But then it'll be Jean Frisk in this particular case, or the sister I knew so well, Sister M. Daniela, Mary right. Daniela.
Because I think that, you know, just to go to our point within you know, the name of the program, Garden of Grace, in many ways the Blessed Mother truly is Eden. Right? I mean, it is from her that comes forth life. And I think that would have been more part of the culture at the time, that Mary would have been recognized not only as the Ark of the Covenant, right, but as the perfection of Eden, right? I mean, so Eden, rather than being like Eden really prefigures the Blessed Mother, right? It's almost a Marian prefiguration, that Mary is going to be the great garden from whom springs forth, you know, the true tree of life, as it were, right? I mean, so she is the one, she is the garden that all of this life comes forth from, either just in the natural sense of being the mother of Christ, but also in the supernatural sense that it is through her and the font of graces that are within her, right, that springs forth. You know, she mothers the entire church.
So, she absolutely does. All right, my friends. We will pick this up with a partial list of flowers and Marian connections in the next episode. Till then, Fides ad ratio.